This is Will's Band of the Week for April 11th, 2021. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Craig from the Ipswich Bureau.
Here I am.
And David from the Brooklyn Indie Rock Stardom Bureau.
Here I am.
Trying to give creative names to some of the bureaus.
I see Craig's bureau has a poster of the United Kingdom on the wall. I assume that's so that he can pinpoint all of the places that British Sea Power is going to play in the next 24 months. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if you can read with the power of webcam, but it's a map of the British Isles, which is obviously a clever pun, and speaks to one of my interests.
That's pretty good.
Very good, very good.
It has nice typography, different fonts of the different beer names from the breweries located all over the British Isles.
Yeah.
And Ireland. Mustn't forget that.
I've seen a similar U.S. map. Or at least, it might have just been Colorado, but I don't know. I think it was a U.S. map.
Good gift for the craft beer fan in your life.
Yes.
I was thinking a relative of mine who's a very avid runner, and he had a map, a city map of the city where he lived, and he was trying to run the entire city, like cover all the streets. So he had this huge map on the wall, and he was marking off all the streets. I don't think he ever completed it, but I mean, it was pretty intimidating. But yeah, I was thinking that that's perfect. Craig could have a map of all the places he's seen British Sea Power. It pretty much would cover the entire UK at some point, probably.
Oh, wow. That would be fun, actually, to list all the different cities. Yeah, I've never even done that. David, you've given me a new idea. So a hobby to do during the lockdown. I can,
So what is the lockdown status right now, Craig?
Are we going into this without the jingle? I don't think we need the jingle, do we? We could do.
Well, we do have a jingle, and I guess if you have a jingle, you should probably use it. So, yeah, let's play it.
It's time for the very serious Corona Report. My Corona.
The latest here is good. The cases are down, hospitalizations are down, the worst thing of all is down, so that's good. And from Monday, which is the 12th, beer gardens are open. You can go and consume food or beverages in a pub garden or restaurant garden, but not inside.
Good development.
Yeah, I'm going to keep an eye. It's also freezing here. The wind is really cold. I wouldn't want to sit outside today, put it that way. So I'm going to keep an eye on things, but maybe within a couple of weeks, I'll give that a try. Yeah, could be nice.
And how's the vaccine rollout going?
Are you over 50s are pretty much done. So first shot. They haven't got to my age group yet. Probably during May or definitely by June for myself. So it's going okay, I think.
And are they doing the with the two dose vaccines? They're spreading them out a lot longer, right? They're getting a bunch of people with the first one before they follow up with the second.
Yeah, and at first that seemed kind of weird, but it's been vindicated, I think, actually, because you get 60 or 70% of the full protection just from the first dose. So it has saved thousands of lives by doing it this way, which is crazy when you think of that, really. All those people who are walking around, which is wonderful, who would be dead. It's brilliant.
Actually. Yeah. Yeah, some of the public health people here are saying that we should be doing that, but we're not. So,
how about Brooklyn, David?
Well, I guess we're still working on the vaccination front. I think 50 and over is eligible at this point. Soon to be 40, I think. And I'm starting to get these notifications about places that are opening, at least outdoor. I know Craig has been to Elsewhere. I just got a notice from elsewhere saying they were opening their rooftop for concerts, but that's outdoor, of course.
Yeah.
I don't know when indoor. I mean, indoor theoretically could be open at any time. The only place that's actually doing it with any seriousness is City Winery in Manhattan, which has a whole stable of everybody from Patti Smith to Rufus Wainwright. They're just going steadily through, I think, April, May, June. Nobody else is, which is really kind of interesting. But the capacity limit is such that I don't think you can make any money at this point actually having concerts indoors. I think the capacity is supposed to be 25% or something. So you can't make money that way. You might as well keep it closed and hope that you get some government aid, which which is slowly coming. So
yeah.
But June, June, July, I think things will really start to bubble up in terms of concerts. Certainly outdoor and probably indoor as well, I would think.
Let's hope so.
I have this ticket for Black Country New Road socially distanced show mid-June. So maybe. We'll see. I have to get there as well. So if the cases are bad or whatever, then I wouldn't make the trip. But hoping that could be possible. Indoor, socially distanced.
That'll be interesting. People will be masked and separated, but they'll still be there.
Yeah. I'm mainly intrigued. If it's safe, I'm intrigued to see how it all goes, just as a different kind of life experience. As long as it's safe, obviously, you'd want to put yourself at risk. But by then, I think it should be okay.
Sure hope so. We're getting another surge in the United States. And some states are really terrible. Like Michigan is like at its height. It's worse. I think it's worse than it's ever been now in Michigan.
Yeah,
in spite of the fact that about a third of the population is vaccinated. The rest of the two-thirds are making up for it. So,
Yeah.
And we're getting that variant. You guys sent that one over, Craig, the B.1.17. So maybe you guys worked sort of through that one, and now the U.S. has to, I don't know. It's we got a ways to go. But the good news is the vaccines are still holding up. All the reports are they work. So,
All right.
That's a not so exciting, but probably appropriate coronavirus update.
And at least we don't have any deaths of the week, do we?
No, don't think we do.
Not rock and roll, but there was a notable one.
plenty of those. Oh, sorry. Plenty of those, yes, but not in the music.
No, we won't talk about the Duke of Edinburgh then, who died. The news is going crazy here.
Oh, really? It's kind of been on the edge of the news here, but not all over.
Some of my favorite podcasts have actually been delayed because the BBC is so busy covering this breaking news that they don't have time to load podcasts, apparently.
Wow.
Yeah. Normal broadcasting is suspended. We found that. We just turned on the TV to watch one of our news shows yesterday evening. What's on BBC One? Oh, just some classical music and pictures of Philip and Elizabeth. Let's just go to two. The same. Oh, let's try three. The same. Four had something different, some naked people, but it's funny, really. Yeah. Of course.
Wow.
Why is this reminding me of Radio Moscow after Stalin dies? Isn't that what they did?
Yeah. You know, it does worry you what kind of country we're living in, whether state-controlled country in a way. Worrying.
We have different media here. We have right-wing right-wing racist media to contend with. So
right.
That's always fun.
Yep. Well, it was an okay week for the indie rockers then.
Definitely. All those records are coming like crazy.
It does, and it seems like there already have been a lot, and it's been a pretty good year so far, I think, for new releases. So they really have picked up, and no sign of slowing down in the near future. So good to see. Well, are we ready to roll? Ready to go through our three excellent selections this week?
Sure.
So I think we should first. So we have to kind of take ownership of a band that we were talking about before they kind of got big. And I don't know if they're big yet, but talking about Dry Cleaning, they've gotten a lot of good indie rock press, and we can kind of smugly read those articles and say, well, you know, we were talking about them over a year ago, probably like a year and a half ago, right? And then they were slated to play the festival that didn't happen last year.
Right. Well, they are, in fact, the last band that I saw before lockdown. So
I did not recall that you saw them. That's pretty cool.
Yep. Yep.
You've got even more indie rock cred then.
I have video proof.
And this, of course, I don't know. I think you can pretty much describe them. It's a post-punky guitar band with a woman talking over the music. That's what it is, right?
You got it.
That works for some people, not others. And I think we kind of glommed onto it early. So hopefully our listeners like it too. They have a full-length album out now, recorded with a prominent producer. And now I can't remember who that is, but maybe one of you guys know that.
Oh, yeah.
Stumped you. The album is...
I remember it was a prominent name, but I can't remember now who it is.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it does sound good. The new album is called New Long Leg. And since I've been talking, I'll just pick a track, and then you guys can take it from there. So, tough call here, but I think I'm going to go with number 5 called Her Hippo.
The house is just 12 years old, soft landscaping in the garden. An electrician stuck his finger in a plug hole and shouted, "Yabba." Hippo. Every day he's a dick. Strong one, no one, the man above, a name, a word, I get set in the heat. I'm smiling constantly and people constantly step on me. Shadow looms around, a feeling of bees' legs on my face. Safe inside a secret love, let's run. Anyway, mystical Shakespeare shoes, a trapped person screaming. The last thing I looked at in this hand mirror was a human arsehole. Situation has really put all that in the shade now. Here he goes, he doesn't care. Mostly angry, scrappy songs. And where does that romantic jealousy come from? Te amo, Manuel. Married then. Her hippo. Every day he's a dick. Strong one, great one. Man above, a name, a word, and smiling constantly, and people constantly step on me.
That's Dry Cleaning. The vocalist's name is Florence Shaw, and she's surrounded by three guys that kind of look like they could be in 38 Special. You know, they got beards, and so it's a pretty fun combination of characters.
Yeah, it's a serious bunch behind her. You know, it strikes me that there are a couple of things that are different about Dry Cleaning from every other band that I know of. One is that, yes, she's talking. She rarely sings. She'll almost sound like she's singing a word or two, but basically she's talking. That's true. But also, her lyrics are incredibly random and disconnected so that if you call them lyrics, you, the listener, are required to figure out some kind of meaning and make some connections as you go along. So it's not just talking. It's talking of a very particular lyrical bent, let's say.
Right.
So that's another obstacle for those who don't want to be fans of Dry Cleaning, and another attraction for those who do. So.
Right. Yeah. Pretty good assessment there, I'd say.
Yeah. Her subject matter is incredibly mundane, actually.
Right. That too. It's always, yes. It's always just the detritus of ordinary life.
Yeah, which you could... I suppose there's a bit of a history of that in English indie lyrics, in a way. So it does tap into sort of indie history, in a way. I suppose Morrissey is always the most obvious thing, but then there's probably plenty of other examples which I can't think of immediately here.
I hadn't thought of that either.
And they are London-based, so they could easily pick up a train and attend one of Craig's barbecues, right?
Yeah, I think they'd be welcome. I'd be a bit scared of the guys. they have a lot of hair, but I'm sure they're very nice. You know, appearances can be deceptive. They look like they should be in roadies for Metallica or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's the other thing is we tend to focus on her because she's the unusual element, but they're really, really good back there behind her.
Oh yeah.
And they don't, yeah. I don't think they get enough attention.
Well, one of you guys should pick a track.
Oh, let's see. Where's my list? Well, I would go with number one myself, which is it's been out for a while. It's the single, if you will.
Yeah, and the bass is great, so you got to play the song with a great bass.
Sure.
It's called Scratch Card Lanyard.
Many years have passed, but you're still charming. Rose falling and exploding. You can't save the world on your own, I guess. Don't send me it. You keep it. You keep it. You keep it. Weak arms can't open the door, Kung Fu Council. It'll be okay, I just need to be weird and hide for a bit and eat an old sandwich from my bag. I've come here to make a ceramic shoe and I've come to smash what you made. I've come to learn how to mingle, I've come to learn how to dance. I've come to join a knitting circle. I've come to hand weave my own bunk bed ladder in a few short sessions. It's a Tokyo bouncy ball, it's an Oslo bouncy ball, it's a Rio de Janeiro bouncy ball. Filter, I love these mighty oaks, don't you? Do everything and feel nothing, wristband, theme park, scratch card, lanyard. Do everything and feel nothing. Do everything and feel nothing. Pat Dad on the head. Alright, you big loud mouth, thanks very much for the Twix. I think of myself as a hardy banana with that waxy surface and small, delicate flowers. A woman in aviators firing a bazooka. A woman in aviators firing a bazooka.
Yep, catchy one.
That was almost a statement of mission, of purpose right there. And she says, I think of myself as, compares herself to a banana, and then says, a woman in aviators firing a bazooka. That's the way I think of her. I think that's the way she thinks of herself.
Yeah. I don't know about you guys, but I found that the album, compared to the earlier EPs, took a little longer to sort of absorb. It seems to not be as outwardly catchy, but I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. It took me like two or three listens before I was sort of grasping the hooks.
Yeah, I agree. And a couple of my notes here say the same thing. I wasn't going to mention this necessarily, but it occurred to me again listening then that the music's too low in the mix for me. And it's John Parrish is the producer, so who am I to criticize?
Oh, right.
Who am I to criticize him? And I'm sure it's done deliberately and it's what they wanted. But David was saying before, the musicians aren't going to get enough credit because the front woman is so interesting. But I just think it needs to be a little bit raised. And you're trying hard. I was listening two or three times, as Will said, trying hard to hear the music because all you can focus on is those banal lyrics and the delivery style. But that's just my interpretation.
How about a pick, Craig?
I have three picks remaining because Will and David were kind enough not to take any of them.
Wow.
I found the album more considered and sedate than I'd expected, actually. Similar to what you were just saying, Will, it's going to take some time to get into it. It doesn't have the Magic of Megan style absolute banger anywhere.
Right.
But that's not necessarily bad. It's just going to, it's one of those things you're going to listen to over time. Having said that, I'm bound to pick the most catchy track. aside from David's pick, which is also a really good one. Number six, the title track, is New Long Leg.
You are. No, you are. Let me see your knees, peas rolling. A useless long leg. Are you taking a photo or drinking a bottle of water? You're a spoon, pal. You are. Don't remember anyone. Sorry. Will there be a hairdryer in my stateroom, or should I bring one? What about shampoo? Will we be able to have laundry done on the ship? And what are the prices? Are there some kind of reverse platform shoes that make you go into the ground more, make you reach a lower level? Never mind. Would you choose a dentist with a messy back garden like that? I don't think so. Sometimes like this. Sometimes like this. A useless long leg.
Yep, that would have been my next pick also.
Yeah. Would you choose a dentist with a messy back garden?
I don't think so.
No, it's good. It's funny. That has a couple of really funny lines.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a pretty good representation of the album.
Well, yeah, you know, I guess sorry, go ahead, David.
I was going to say the great thing about the lyrics is that unlike your average song where it pretty much puts you in the same place every time you hear it, or at least that's the idea, every time you hear the lyrics, you can throw them together in a different way and get a different meaning out of them. So it just sort of endlessly reproduces itself. It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of random thoughts and, mm-hmm.
Seemingly random.
And,
anyway.
Yeah. And then just different things might grab you each time you hear the song.
Exactly.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Dry cleaning. David has seen them. The rest of us hopefully will get to at some point. I can't really tell how, if they're actually sort of getting big, or I think they got a good write-up in Pitchfork, of course, which is always good, but that doesn't do it all for you, just having a good write-up in Pitchfork.
That's true.
Somebody that I'm sure I've told the story, I love this story, somebody who worked for Barrett's Coffee Shop had an album that got an 8 on Pitchfork, so there you go. And they didn't get famous. I think it got an 8.
At least not yet.
I know that I talked about this before, and I'm probably going to be wrong. So I should probably, let's do the music journalism now. It was a band called Pale Young Gentlemen. Nope, they didn't get an 8. See, I had this wrong. I bet you I think this is corruption. Because I'm looking at it right now, and the review on Pitchfork says it's a 6.9. I could have sworn it was an 8 at the time. Anyway, but they did get reviewed on Pitchfork. So that's cool, right?
Yeah, well, 6.9 isn't bad.
No, it isn't bad. It's like respectable, and it means Pitchfork paid attention to you, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just wonder about dry cleaning. Are they, it seems like there might be a limited audience to this kind of thing, right? we like it, but how, you know, are you, can you imagine like 2,000 people going to see dry cleaning? Probably not. So maybe that's perfect for us.
Their next UK, it's going to be next February, I think. They've announced them almost a year in advance. They're playing in London at the Kentish Town Forum, which is, I think, is 1,200 or something. It's big. Basically, you can't get much bigger in London before you go to arenas. Of course, arenas would be 10,000, so you just do three nights at one of these smaller places if you get that size. So it's, yeah, they're big here, I think, but US, they'll need to come and do some smaller places. Well, David's seen them once there. But.
Yeah, cool. All right.
Yeah.
Let's keep on rocking. We have this is a fun one. This is I don't even know where I read about this, but there are these people that just play music and put it up on Bandcamp, and they're just indie rock veterans that you just don't hear about. And somehow I read about this somewhere, and I don't know, maybe the generic name makes it harder to find, but it's a guy from Denver, and his project is called American Culture. And turns out he's been around for a while, and there's some funny stories about him, and I guess plays a lot of gigs just kind of regionally in the Southwest U.S., and I'd never heard of him until I read about this album like a month ago, and I know Craig took a liking to it, so maybe we'll turn it over to Craig to talk about first and pick the first track.
Yeah, putting me in the hot seat there. Thanks,
yeah,
Will.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think it's, I don't know, you recommend quite a few things there in the behind the scenes. The listeners don't want to hear too much about all the backstage planning that we go through, but a few recommendations come up now and again, and sometimes I can just tell from your tone that it's something I need to listen to. And then some things grab you and some don't, and
yep.
With this track one is just so good, it just keeps you listening, and it's certainly varied. A lot of short tracks, a lot of different kinds of... You described it as a mess, I think, which is, in the most complimentary way possible, because we really like it, but it's kind of does all kinds of different things in 40 minutes.
Yeah, there's a lot of variety on it, and the recording is just so, it's lo-fi in a cool way where you listen and you're like, how did he do that? How did they make that sound? It's non-standard, you know?
Yeah, there's just something that just grabs you about it, for me anyway. Lo-fi, fuzzy, quite a bit of the time. And bizarre lyrics, inane, really. some good fun stuff.
So with an album that is so varied like this, then it is hard to pick one track, isn't it? So you'll have to pick one and just hope that we pick it up from there in a decent manner.
Yeah. Well, I'm just going to go with my favorite, but I have... I don't know, I could have made seven picks probably, but number nine, Drug Dealer's House, is I love it every time I hear it. So.
Slam. Were you in a fight? And why do you? controllers laying around. There's not an RC car here in sight. These are the things that I remember. These are the things I truly miss. These are the things that I remember. These are the things I truly miss. The last time I was here, didn't you have a rumor? Yeah, you know who would watch it eat a bug.
It's so lo-fi that it's almost like it's been being recorded from the next room, but it still works somehow.
Yeah, I was listening to it probably the first or second time, and I thought, it sounds like he's just describing when he goes to the drug dealer's house to buy drugs. And I looked at the title of the track. Yeah, that's what he's doing. You just kind of hope, you hope that's what he's doing. And yeah, that's all. Yep. That's all it is.
Yep.
So. The album is called For My Animals, and it's on a label from Athens, Georgia, called HHBTM Records. So it's a little misleading, because if you you can find it on Bandcamp by searching American Culture For My Animals, but then you get the HHBTM Records Bandcamp, and then it says Athens. So like at first I thought the band was from Athens, but right, it's actually not.
Well, here's a paragraph from their bio, which I like a lot, and probably none of this is true, but anyway. This is Chris, his name is Chris Adolf, he's the project leader here. He lives out in the desert near Four Corners. There are no other bands there, no other references. American Culture can be seen live in various warehouses and punk spaces throughout the desert west. So that's even further out than Denver, because Four Corners is a long way from Denver.
Yeah, maybe Denver.
Definitely not Athens.
Yeah, I guess maybe associated with Denver, because maybe he lived in Denver before, or it's just the nearest big city.
Or he really is still in Denver, but in his mind, he's out somewhere in the desert.
Yeah, could be. Well, I'll make a pick. There at least three here that I would probably like to highlight, but I think the catchiest one to me is probably number five, Petals. American Culture,
guitar solo on the podcast. Brilliant.
Right. Did you read that story that I think it was his like 2015 album? He asked Jay Maskus to play a solo on it, and he said sure. Just like some random thing. There's apparently a Jay Maskus solo on his earlier album.
Yeah. I listened to it. It was great.
And that last section there, it made sense.
Very, very like, similar. But even wilder.
So a couple of things about that. First of all, it's like sort of brilliantly lo-fi. I mean, I don't even know how they do it. It's sort of, maybe Jason could tell us more about the technique, but it seems like it's sort of overdriven and distorted on purpose. Like the drums are too loud for what they're being recorded into, so it just makes a cool effect. But then also, he also gets this weird detuned effect where it like kind of wavers in and out of tune, like a bad cassette or something. And I don't know how they do that. Is it just a kind of a cool accident of a lo-fi recording process, or is he like specifically creating that effect?
I'm guessing he's, the way the vocal is recorded also.
Right, which has all this distortion on it too. So I don't know, the whole thing, I think that's a part of what's so good about it, is that the sound of it just makes it interesting. And well, let's turn it over to David.
It's too bad Barrett isn't here, because this is a really tough one for the, you know, who does this sound like game.
Right.
I don't know what. Can anybody come up with anything? I don't.
Well, I threw out the OCs, didn't I? On our, I don't really like them that much. Yeah. But I just thought it has that kind of, I don't know, Western US kind of slackerish rock, I guess. But maybe that's completely inaccurate. That's the best I can do.
I guess so. I don't have a clue. So, but I do have a pick.
Okay.
And I would go with 10, 1972.
This one, I was intrigued by this one. This one has sort of a krautrocky type sound, right?
Yeah.
1972. Just when you think it's a guitar band, then all those fun little synthesizer things come in. That's, I guess, one thing I really like about it is it really is unpredictable, and it's just fun to listen to in that way because you don't know what's going to happen next.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's no consistency going here.
That's what makes it hard to pick a comparison with things it sounds like, because there must be 10 different things it sounds like.
Right, right. And there are three short tracks that have the word dub in them, and they sort of sound like reggae, sort of, right? It's like when that hits, you're like, whoa, where did that come from? But
a right. Little bit of everything, yeah.
Definitely a fun one. Craig, did we do it justice?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, it's American Culture, and the album is For My Animals. So, yeah, if you at least were inclined to like those tracks, listen to the whole thing, and you'll find some really fun surprises along the way.
Absolutely.
Well,
and now we have our veteran, right?
We're going to talk about an indie rock veteran. You know what we should do, though? I think we should introduce the album and play at least one track, and then see if people who are not previously familiar with this, if they have any inkling of who it might be, right?
Yeah.
I think David brought this one up first, so why don't you introduce it without telling us who the indie rock veteran is?
Okay. Well, the album, the group is called The Natural, and Natural is spelled with a B instead of a U, so that you can find it on Google. All right.
Yep, that's the latest indie rock trick.
And the album is called Tethers. Not the only album on Spotify called Tethers, but it is this one. Let's see, I got a bunch of picks. I don't know what I should play first or what we should put first. I mean, maybe the first one is the best thing.
All right, we're going to play track one right out of the gate from The Natural. It's called Why Don't You Come Out Anymore. That's The Natural, and the album is Tethers. And, well, the reason that I suggested introducing it that way is that I would have no idea who this is just by his voice. So is that because I didn't pay enough attention to his voice before, or just that his voice isn't that distinctive?
I don't know. It's just such a completely different sound from what you're used to from this person.
I guess it's time to divulge it.
It sounds like... Can I say who it sounds like without revealing the big reveal?
I have a thing it sounds like too, but yeah, go ahead.
I think that track could have been lifted from the album Lisbon by The Walkmen. And you wouldn't... It would just fit straight on there, actually. But it's not Hamilton Lighthouse singing there, so that's one thing it's not.
right?
That's exactly who I was thinking of. Hamilton Lighthouser.
He doesn't sing like him on every song, actually, on this.
Right.
The natural singer, whoever it is, who we might tell
whoever it is, right? Yeah. Would either of you guys have, if you just heard this out of the blue, would you recognize his voice?
No,
I can't say.
And I think part of it, he's singing in a different style, but I didn't go back and listen to the earlier stuff from his indie rock veteran band, which is, David?
The Pains of Being Pure at Heart.
That's correct.
Well, I think that's a perfectly good excuse to listen to a track of theirs, is it not? Because I think I may have mentioned before, they're one of my very favorites. So you don't need an excuse, really, to listen to them.
That's
true. We can
true.
Do a bit of a compare and contrast here.
Do you have a track in mind, Craig?
Oof. Well, if you'd allow me to choose one, Young Adult Friction, I guess, would be a good one.
I'll find it. That's The Pains of Being Pure at Heart from 2009.
I know Will has to love that song because the bass is basically taking the lead on the melody.
That's always a good thing. Definitely a good thing. Yeah, I really liked that early Pains of Being Pure at Heart stuff. Kip Berman is the guy's name. So, yeah, the voice sounds like it's the same guy. But on this natural thing, he's, you know, he's belting it out a little harder, right? Hamilton Lighthouser style.
Yeah, it's good. It's good that he's done that. Actually, when David said we should listen to this and talk about it on the podcast, I thought, well, I have such strong affection for The Pains of Being Pure at Heart. You know, I'll definitely go into it with an open mind, but I'm not going to like it because it can't be that, and that's mm-hmm. so special to me. But actually, it's so different, and it's really good. So there was no need for me to be worried, and I'm pleasantly surprised and pleased, of course.
I guess it's time for Craig to pick a track, then.
Well, yeah. So what Pains of Being Pure at Heart always had, and there's an evidence there, is like this kind of an urgent quality, like they had to get the message out, and particularly when you saw them live. They were just, it was so fast, not in a Ramones style, but or Motorhead style, but just like, we've got to get through this set, and the drums are just clattering away. And I found a track on here which is a bit like that too. It's kind of just like the urgency just hits you, which I guess I must like. Track 4, New Year's Night.
New Year's Night, another false start. Press your dry lips to my
over this earth, but the wind over her carried it far. Fucked up some words, so what did I say that I shouldn't have then? We'll never be lovers again.
You stole my pick.
Phew, does that mean I get to keep my spot on the podcast?
Yep.
Made the right pick.
It's always good when you do that. Yeah, yeah, that's probably the fastest song on the album, right? Also, a catchy tune for sure.
I have to confess, I did not... You're absolutely right about the Walkman reference on the first one, but that was not the influence that struck me at all on this record. It was
okay.
Something else entirely. Does anyone have a clue?
Let's hear what it is. I don't know, because I thought Hamilton Lighthouser myself.
Oh, it's middle period Dylan, no question about it. The organ gives it away. That's the Al Cooper organ there on that track.
Okay.
Interesting.
Absolutely. All you have to do is, you probably don't want to do this, but all you have to do is put on any track from Highway 61 Revisited, and then put on that track, and then you'll hear it.
Well, we're gonna have to find out what Anurag thinks then.
It's all there.
Yeah. I kind of thought maybe David would pick the last track, because it's a good last track.
That is in fact pretty Dylan-esque also.
And if I was gonna play that, I would break in kind of in the middle of it, because it's a slow build track. But it's good. But I'm gonna pick a different one. I'm gonna go back and play number 3, Sun Blisters.
Okay.
That's The Natural, spelled with a V. And
you know, the verse on that is very close, almost plagiarism close, to a UK classic. Not the chorus, but the verse.
Oh man, and I'm on the spot again.
It's okay. I'll tell you. not the Hoople. It's like
wow.
The roofs on all the young dudes.
Oh, man.
almost note for note.
Yeah, boy, he's taking it back. Back to the 70s with the references with the organ definitely gives it a little different flavor, doesn't it?
Yeah, I really like that that sound. I'm glad you mentioned the organ, David, because it's so obvious, and yet I probably wouldn't have mentioned it. But it's a real feature of the album, isn't it? And it's a different kind of sound. You don't hear that often with the indie rock on Will's band. So,
yep.
There was an album by, oh man, I'm going to try to remember now. Oh, I think it was the Charlatans, actually, from around, I don't know, late 2000s or something, that had sort of electro, New Order-esque, but had some good organs on, like that. You're thinking New Order and the organ don't match, but somehow it was really good, actually. That's the last really notable album I could think of that had it.
There were some songs by girls also that had some great organ on them.
Yeah, I remember that. Well, good. Good. Is this where we declare ourselves to be 3 for 3 and greater than $0 for the week?
Absolutely. We have returning champions, we have veterans, and we have new people. Every variety.
And every podcast needs to end with the self-congratulatory remarks, right?
That's right.
Well, thanks to both of you guys. This is great. We've got it's every week somebody steps to the plate, and I think we're going to get Barrett back much more regularly once we can do it in person. So, and Barrett and I have both gotten the first vaccine. So as we work through this, I've got two household members who haven't gotten any vaccine yet, though. So we're working on it. And then we'll be able to have people in Fourth Bedroom Studios again. So,
That's right.
And something fun potentially lined up for next week, but I won't say anything. I'll just leave the listeners to be like wondering what's it going to be. And then they'll be hitting like the refresh button on the website like every 5 minutes for the next couple of weeks. No, you don't need to do that because we're pretty regular. I try to be pretty regular about putting it up. We try for Sunday evening, 8 Central. That's why Craig wakes up at 2 in the morning on Monday to check for the podcast. I'm sure you've got an alarm set.
Well, I'm normally watching Sunday Night Baseball, of course, which starts around, 8 Eastern, usually? So, I would normally be awake, and I just have Will's band audio with the baseball. Now the season started, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tomorrow, it's a big one, the 11th, Sunday. Cardinals, which is my team, hosting the Brewers, which is the official baseball team of Will's band.
They are. See, they have a problem. The Brewers have a problem. You know what that is? This is our sports talk of the week.
They have to make contact with the baseball.
There you go. They don't make contact with the baseball. And that is a big problem. I guess they're not the only team with that problem at the moment. It seems like the pitchers are doing much better than the hitters. One thing I read is somebody thinks that it's all the metrics that they have now. All the statistical adjustments that are being made in various aspects of the game are more advantageous to the defensive side, and therefore nobody can get hits. In the Brewers' case, it seems to be an extreme issue, a big problem. So,
I like that Craig is doing his part to keep the balance of payments between the UK and the US in exchange for all those Americans who are obsessed with, Arsenal and Manchester and just football in general.
Right.
There are many of those. There are very few of the opposite variety.
Seems that way, doesn't it?
Yeah, something has happened, actually. Of course, the NFL is here now. This will go back before the COVID and stuff.
Well,
we used to have games in London.
Right.
But in my time following baseball, which is probably 14 years or something, the BBC Sport website would never have anything about baseball whatsoever. But now it's having like a daily video highlight of the most absurd thing that happened that day in the MLB. So baseball,
really?
You could say they're responding to demand, but no, the thing is they create the demand. So someone somewhere is telling the BBC to put that up there and funneling some money. Because we had a couple of games here, didn't we, as well in London before the pandemic, the season 2019, there were a couple of MLB games in London. so that someone somewhere is putting some money into this. So hopefully it's going to be more and more baseball in England. Be good.
I suppose. And everyone else is saying, we already have cricket. Why do we need this? Right?
Yeah. Or rounders. They call it rounders. Disparagingly, the British people say, oh, what's that? It's rounders. Right. Play with people with silly uniforms.
I ran across some people playing, I think they were playing cricket. Like, I know so little about it, but it was on the university campus here when I went for a run a week or two ago. And I'm like, wow, that is a rare sight. But it was kind of cool because it was non-standard. They could have been playing touch football, or they could have been playing. Well, another one that's pretty big is Ultimate Frisbee. Is that big in the UK?
I don't think so.
It's a pretty popular game here.
Not professionally.
Yeah, well, not professionally, but like as a club sport and college age kids, I think quite a few people play it.
I'll tell you where you run into pickup cricket games, and that's India. Everywhere you look, there's a pickup cricket game going on, or actually organized cricket game.
Hmm. Well, cool. All right, probably time to say goodnight. So it's good evening from where Craig is. It's good afternoon where we are.
Mm-hmm.
But the great thing is that you can listen to this podcast at any time. You can listen when you're doing your dishes. You can listen when you're falling asleep. You can listen when you're waking up in the morning. It really is good for pretty much any activity in your life, I would say.
True.
What do you guys think?
Well, there's only one thing you can't do with this podcast. You can't play it on 1.5 times speed, which I do with other podcasts.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't
screws up the music
at all.
Yeah. I've probably mentioned this before.
But not this one.
Do you ever put it on half speed and then everybody sounds like they just came out of surgery? That's what it sounds like. All right. Let's sign off. Thanks, you guys. I hope you can both be on again soon. Keep scouring the indie rock world for new releases. And we'll go back to the vault again sometime soon, too. So we'll talk to everybody again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you each week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, with correspondents from the United States, Canada, England, and Australia. You can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or anywhere else podcasts are found. All of our episodes can be found at willsband.net. To contact us, send email to willsband@yahoo.com or find us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.